Welcome, and thank you for standing by, and thank you for joining the Middle East and Africa Security Webinar. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Joe Russen, Business Unit Executive, IBM Security Systems, Middle East and Africa. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Amy. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the IBM Middle East and Africa Security Webinar. I just want to say a very few words real quick before I introduce our guest speaker today. And this is really around the fact that cybersecurity or cybercrime has reached epidemic portions today. It is one of the top two, top three forms of crime in the world, surpassing traditional forms of crime such as narcotics in recent years. And this has far-reaching consequences for organizations, from reputational damage to brand image to loss of income, loss of customers, etc. And it's becoming a boardroom conversation for all organizations doing business out there. So with that in mind, I think all of us need to be a lot more considerate and a lot more aware of the threats that cybercrime poses on our existence as organizations. So we would like today to share with you IBM's vision and IBM's strategy around how to combat this problem of cyberattacks and cybercrime that is happening with us on a daily basis. We are very fortunate today to have with us Mr. Mark van Zadelhoff, the Vice President of IBM Security Strategy and Product Management. And Mark will take us today through the IBM Security Strategy, what we have available for you to use in your environments today, and also where we see this industry going and IBM's vision for how we will help you to protect yourselves from these kinds of attacks in the future. Just before I hand over to Mark, a few housekeeping points for people running on Mac computers. This presentation works best on the Firefox and Safari browsers. We will be sending out the slides to everybody registered for this event later today or during the course of tomorrow morning, and we will have a Q&A session at the end of the presentation today. So without further ado, I will hand you over to Mark van Zadelhoff, our Worldwide VP of Strategy and Product Management, IBM Security Systems.
Hey, Joe. Thanks very much for hosting me today on this call. It's my honor to be talking to folks this morning. I'm actually dialing into this from my hometown of Boston, Massachusetts, where we have had our own security issues and concerns of a very different sort this week. Everybody's doing fine here, and I'm happy to focus my energies on this webcast and on the many folks that have dialed in. So I appreciate it. We have people on the phone from Saudi Arabia, South Africa, the Gulf, and a number of other countries in your part of the world. And I know it's later in the day there, and I appreciate the attention here. We are going to record this, and so if you find this interesting, please forward the information along to your colleagues and peers in the business and have them take a listen as well. Without further delay, I wanted to just get into the topic of today, which is IBM security, well, security in general, IT security, cybersecurity, goes by many different names. And I think what many of you in the region had wanted to get is just an update on IBM strategy in the space. A lot of you who are dialed in, you know the basics of computer security, and you have many different thoughts on how to combat that. There's been some questions around, you know, what's IBM strategy? We've done a lot of changes to our business. We've acquired some capabilities. You know, what is our current strategy today? So I'm going to spend some time walking through what we see as some of the major trends in security and then walk through how we're helping customers around the world. Security is a major growth initiative for IBM. At the highest level, we are one of the largest players in the security software and services space. And it's probably one of the faster growth segments that IBM's in and one that we plan on making a significantly larger business over time. We're one of the largest today, and we want to continue to grow that business. So you'll be hearing a lot from IBM in this topic. So let me get through it. I'm just going to walk to slide two here. First of all, I know many of you are technology and security practitioners on the phone. as you know, security doesn't operate in isolation. Security operates in the reality that is our current IT infrastructure, where we have trillions of objects connected to the internet, where we have social business happening. Your employees at your various organizations are doing social business, whether you want them to or not. They are interacting with the cloud, whether it's something official you let them do or something like iCloud or Dropbox that they're doing on their own. They are bringing their own devices to work, and there are part of the more than billion mobile workers out there. So security fits in this context of the planet getting smarter, more interconnected, more information-rich, more instrumented. And your task as a security professional is to understand how security cannot be the department that says no every time, no to these things, but enables these changes that are happening. So that's really the key here. On the next slide, I walk through very quickly some of the major motivations that are driving security. And I think, again, I don't want to spend too much time talking about topics that you may be reading about on your own. But security over the last 10 years has really gone from revenge and curiosity, you see it at the bottom of the slide here, up to today, monetary gain, espionage, and activism, or what we call hacktivism, and a national security issue. We're seeing combinations of attacks occurring on customers that combine these motivations, and it means that the types of attacks have gotten quite different over the last couple of years. To show an example of that, if you look here on slide 4, our X-Force research team, so IBM has an extensive threat research team, spends a significant amount of time understanding all of the disclosed incidents that have occurred. And you see here a lot of the ones that have been disclosed. And you notice everybody asked me when I showed the slide, why is there so much gray? And the gray are unknown. It's unknown generally because it's not disclosed what kind of attack it was. During the course of the beginning of this year, we'll start to get more information on some of these attacks that occurred. But you see the industry that these companies have been in, e-commerce, online services, banking, electronics, healthcare, government, and the type of attack, DDoS, spear phishing, SQL injection being some of the more popular ones that are being used. As many of you know, the attacks have really taken on a different nature over the last several years. They've become more advanced and persistent, APTs, as they're called, advanced persistent threats, where the hackers, because of those motivations described in the last slide, are very willing to spend some serious investment in time breaking into an organization. When national security is a motivator, when espionage or hacktivism is a motivator, when monetary gain is a motivator, they'll do it low and slow, and they will find a way of getting into a customer's environment. And that's where we fundamentally believe a new type of technology is required to help solve that security problem and not become a bubble on this chart here on slide 4. On slide 5, as we got into 2012 last year, we formed a new division around security at IBM. It's called IBM Security Systems. And one of the things we conducted was our first CISO survey, Chief Information Security Officer survey. Now, I know that that many of you on the phone here are in regions where perhaps you don't have a CISO yet at your organization. Maybe security is a shared function. Maybe it's a couple of part-time people. But we're seeing more and more that the more advanced organizations, the larger banks in Saudi, the Gulf, in South Africa, the countries on the phone here, banks, the energy utility companies, they really are starting to appoint chief information security officers or VP of IT security or some such function. And we surveyed several hundred of these heads of IT security. On slide 5, you see the results here. And I don't want to spend too much time on this slide, but I think it's worth reading this survey. You can find it just by Googling 2012 IBM Chief Information Security Officer Assessment, as you see it in the bottom of the slide here. You'll find it online. But you see the emergence of of three different types of CISOs, or heads of security. Obviously, the more advanced ones we're calling the influencer, and the ones that are really reacting to situations of the responders. And you see the behaviors and how they differ on the right here. You know, companies that are more influencing and security confident and prepared have a dedicated CISO. They have security and security and risk committee. They're bringing the line of business in. Now you can read some of the other topics here. But I think as you're thinking about security, as you are talking maybe to your CIO and CEO at your company, it's important to think about security not just, you know, based on the rest of what we're going to talk about today, which is some of the technologies you can do to improve security. I think today's era of advanced attacks, of the motivations changing, require very much leadership. And that's many of you on the phone today, either business partners or IT security professionals who have dialed into this webcast. You are the leaders in the Middle East and Africa on this topic. And I think it's very important that we don't obsess on the technology, but also on the fact that being a leader can really make a massive difference to an enterprise in staying ahead of these threats. So take a look at that survey. It really provides some very specific pointers on how the influencers are doing things that make them more effective than, for example, the responders here. I'm going to keep moving on to slide six. So let me make security simple, because I think in the security business, we sometimes do a very good job of making security really complicated, right? We talk about all these things, and non-security professionals sometimes wonder if we're crazy. We're talking about hackers and Trojans and script kiddies and all these things. And by the time we finish our presentations, our executives, our boards of directors are confused or not quite sure what to do. At IBM, our view is that security is a complex and four-dimensional puzzle. And when you think about security, think about how do we secure people, how do we secure data, how do we secure applications, and how do we secure the infrastructure. And if you think about any breach type, any of the things I just mentioned, script kiddies and, you know, advanced persistent threats and SQL injection, in the end it always involves people accessing data, generally through applications that's sitting on our infrastructure. And when you're thinking about any of these dimensions here, people, data, applications, infrastructure, over the last 5 to 10 years, as per the first slide, these have gotten smarter, have gotten more complex, right? So no longer do we just deal with employees as the people we worry about securing. We now have extended our enterprise out to suppliers, customers, cloud service providers, and half the time hackers or maybe cyber terrorists are sitting in that people domain that you need to sift through and make sure that they are unentitled. Data has gone from structured data to purely unstructured big data. Applications have gone from systems applications all the way up to mobile applications, and the infrastructure, as you all know, has gone from the good old days of a mainframe in a glass room to there being more software and infrastructure sitting in a car than we could have imagined existing 20 years ago in any environment. So these dimensions are, I think, very simple ways of thinking about the security problem, and we fundamentally believe that there needs to be a new approach to look across these dimensions, and that a lot of the focus in the past has been on this infrastructure layer, right? Firewalls, antivirus. But if you really want to solve today's security problem, you need to think across these four dimensions, and that's what we're going to get into in IBM strategy. So let me shift to the next section here, IBM strategy in security, and I'm going to just talk through slide eight here. IBM has a what we call our IBM security framework. It's a way of thinking about security that we think is comprehensive. It is based on the COBIT framework. It's based on our work with thousands of customers around the world. And again, it like you would expect, having talked about the prior slide, we are committed to thinking about helping you, our customers, secure people, data, applications, and infrastructure. That's very important, and we have capabilities that I'm going to walk through in this presentation in each of these areas. But what is also critical is being able to then also secure and look across these domains, and that's where we talk about security intelligence and analytics, the ability to take in and ingest billions of events a day and sometimes an hour related to security and find the needle in the haystack across these domains and adding into that our advanced security and threat research capabilities. At IBM, we offer professional services across this framework, cloud and managed services, and then our software and appliances across these domains. So let me give you an example of the kind of capabilities in our portfolio. And that takes me to slide 9. Slide 9 is a busy slide, but if you are interested in understanding IBM's overall strategy, it's one that kind of encapsulates our capabilities in one slide. So let me start at the bottom of the slide here, around people, data, applications, and infrastructure. So when we say securing people, it's all around a robust portfolio of identity and access management solutions. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about these as we go forward. Federated identity management, single sign-on, identity and access management solutions and appliances, and getting into privileged identity. Under data security, we acquired several years ago a company called Guardium, and Guardium provides in our portfolio robust database and security going out to all sorts of databases, Oracle databases, Microsoft databases, DB2, Informix, SAP, some of the applications as well, and doing vulnerability management there as well. The other things you can think about in data security are data masking in order to protect the confidentiality of data and encryption key lifecycle management. Third area, application security. It's all around being able to do both source and dynamic scanning of your applications. This is really powerful technology to make sure that the applications in your environment are secure. We combine that with some of our gateway technologies, the XML gateway Data Power has, and fine-grained entitlements. And then on the infrastructure side, we are thinking both at the network and endpoint. And again, this is where the historical emphasis of security has been, but thinking around network intrusion prevention capabilities. We've extended next-generation capabilities in this area. But then also on the endpoint, capability that we have in a product called Endpoint Manager, which is a former Big Fix technology, which we've extended out to mobile device management. So being able to do patching and software distribution across all your servers and laptops and desktops, but also extending that out to your Android, iOS devices. So that's the bottom of the stack here. You have above that, I think one of the most important pieces, which is our security intelligence layer. And this is the QRadar technology that we have extended log management, risk management, and SIEM capabilities out so that you can really scan across all of your log data, all of your security events, all of the flow data across your enterprise. And finally, at the top of the stack here, and I know there's a lot going on this slide here, is our enterprise governance, risk, and compliance capabilities, which includes technologies like OpenPages, which is a GRC platform, out to Algorithmics and i2 around fraud and investigation management risk KPIs. So there's a lot on this slide, a lot to try and go through. I won't try and go through all of it here, but our strategy is, I think, a comprehensive one where across these key domains of security, we are able to provide leading technologies. And let me talk about leading on the next slide here to help secure the organization that you're with. So in slide 10, I mentioned leading. So if you look at the analysts out there, you know, IBM operates in a number of unique segments of the security market, and I went through them very quickly on slide 9. But you see here that in almost every segment that we're in, we are a leader either by recognition from IDC, from Forrester, or Gartner in these segments. So we're very proud of that our capabilities, even when we acquire them, we are continuing to innovate those capabilities and keep them leading in their segment. Slide 11, the other area that we are spending a lot of time on in our security strategy is to make sure that we are integrating across the portfolio, that we are integrating all the information from the various layers of security into our security intelligence capability, into our QRadar platform, that in the middle here we are integrating our advanced research, our X-Force research team that created the bubble chart in the beginning, into all of our products, and that we are integrating across our products. So our identity management portfolio is providing a capability to our infrastructure portfolio, that our application vulnerabilities are being plugged into our network security infrastructure to block them. So there's a lot you can do across the portfolio, and that's a key theme here. A final key theme on slide 12 is, again, this X-Force research capability. We have a great amount of coverage and depth here. The coverage comes from IBM being both a software provider and security, but also a managed security services provider. We have 20,000 devices that we're monitoring on a daily basis across almost 4,000 customers. In our SOCs around the world, about 13 billion events are coming in a day from 133 countries. So every country that's dialed in here, we have customers that we're monitoring. It gives us a lot of coverage in terms of understanding the threat. And in depth on the right-hand side, you can see in terms of just the databases of security knowledge that we've built up over the last two decades, URLs that are malicious, IP reputation databases, vulnerability databases, spam and phishing attacks. So all of these repositories of knowledge and depth on the right fuel our products to make them more intelligent. So you take a product like a QRadar SIEM or log management tool, and you combine that with X-Force, and suddenly those events that it's pulling in, you can add context to it to make those events very intelligent and say, geez, that may be a simple log file from a Cisco router, but actually if I combine it with X-Force intelligence, I know that that was a attempt to enter my enterprise from an IP address that is known for being malicious, known for being a carrier of a host of botnets, for example. So this is a way of adding a lot of intelligence into our portfolio from the X-Force team. So how do we apply these principles? So let me just walk through some more concrete examples of security intelligence and how we're handling that, and then get into how we deepen from there into the other domains, people, data, application, and infrastructure security. So I'm going to spend about six slides on that, and then really we will probably about 15 minutes from now wrap up and definitely have time for Q&A if there are questions. But let me walk through a little bit of depth on each of these areas. So we talk security intelligence on slide 14. Security intelligence is the art of the impossible, as it were. It is, a lot of times customers say to us, I have trouble collecting and correlating events, and therefore I can't find the needle in the haystack. And by the time we are done with that customer, the advice is collect more events, because the more you collect and the more we enable you to collect, the better you'll be able to correlate that data and the better chance you have of finding that needle in the haystack. So it's counterintuitive, because customers are having trouble with just a limited amount of data they're trying to manage. By the end of that, we're having them collect billions of events a day, an hour, or a week, depending on how big the organization is. And what we are doing with security intelligence is taking data from, as you see here on the graphic, security devices, servers and mainframes, your network and virtual activity, your data activity, applications, configurations, your vulnerability information, users and their identities, and we are taking that all into our QRadar platform, where we do event correlation, we do activity baselining and anomaly detection. Anomaly detection is a very key part of this. It means that you don't have to set up rules to detect everything, but also are able to baseline and look at anomalies off of that baseline. And we take all of these billions of events into what we call offense identification. An offense is kind of beyond an incident or an event. It combines sometimes thousands of events into one credible, severity-based offense that tells you that there's a breach occurring, that there's perhaps a misconfiguration or an internal threat, a flow of data going to a part of the world you don't even do business with, something truly offensive, as the name would indicate, that you need to go and look into. So that is at the heart of our security intelligence capability. And you see on slide 15 how we provide these solutions. So it is delivered in an appliance form factor. You can start with log management. Then you can expand very simply. These solutions actually deploy very easily. You can expand out to SIEM. You can add configuration and vulnerability management into there. You can add the network anomaly detection within the SIEM and leveraging some of our QFlow technology. This allows you to do behavioral anomaly detection. And then finally, you can add network and application visibility with our Qflow and vFlow capabilities, layer 7 application monitoring. So you have really a significant number of capabilities. But the best thing is I'm showing, you know, 7 or so different appliances on the slide here, 6 different appliances. But the fact is you can install one appliance and expand out to these various capabilities depending on the needs of the customer and depending on what exact concerns that they have. So that's a very flexible platform, and you see it here on slide 16. You see just a small sampling of the dashboard as you log in, some of the data flows being shown here on the right, some of the key offenses in the middle. And it's a very, customizable dashboard that sits at the heart of your security operations center and allows you to really stay ahead of the breach to find whether or not there's an advanced persistent attack based on the flow data, whether there's misconfigurations, whether there's potential breaches, and really manage security. And this is not just for large organizations. We work with a lot of small companies that have a single appliance, a small area. It can work in that environment or scale out to the largest banks in the world. On slide 17, I get down into the infrastructure side. So we'll go from security intelligence to infrastructure. I put this one here next, a little bit of a different order than what I was saying in the prior pieces around people, data, applications, infrastructure. We're going to start with the infrastructure. If you go from that Qone Labs platform, the next thing you want to do is provide controls at the network level. So that's been a big focus of ours, is our IBM network security capability, the blue boxes on the slide here, what we call our advanced threat protection. So what you want to do is you want to have a layer of network security that does intrusion prevention. So every pass of the network data, it's doing intrusion prevention and detection, content and data security, web application protection. Again, that network anomaly detection, and an application control. Who's on Facebook, who's on YouTube, being able to control that capability. So that's our network security strategy. And we think linking that in, you can have that capability separately, but also linking it in with our X-Force and Qone Labs capability is a very powerful combination, because it allows you to go from that visibility at the top layer of the stack here across the entire enterprise, down to network control, blocking breaches coming into your environment and blocking surfing and web access that can lead your employees to malicious websites. So that's a little bit of detail on our infrastructure protection. You can also go deeper on slide 18 into our data security, right? This is where I mentioned before around securing databases, securing structured and unstructured data repositories. And here, again, we have our Guardium suite of solutions. And you see here in the circle on the left around audit and reporting, assess and hardening, find and classify, and monitor and enforce. So those are the mantras of the Guardium capability. Again, an appliance form factor. It's sitting in front of your key data repositories and doing very fine-grained monitoring of that usage of that data. It is looking at privileged users like DBAs and understanding if they're following policy. Most large banks in the United States and Europe are using this Guardium solution to secure their customer data for compliance purposes. Very, very powerful capability. So that gets you down deep into the data layer of the security problem. Now, what about on slide 19, what about the endpoint, right? Back to the infrastructure layer, getting out to the endpoint. Well, here, this is where the platform I called IBM Endpoint Manager, so our big fix acquisition from several years ago. We are combining security and systems management into one capability where you can do both systems management, so distribute software, do patch management, but also security management, antivirus, DLP, security and compliance reporting. And you can do that out across your desktops and laptops, your mobile endpoints, and purpose-specific endpoints. As I mentioned, we've expanded this out, as you see in the bottom left here, to mobile devices. We've done a significant amount of expansion of our security content. And from this endpoint platform, you can link right back into that QRadar platform or any other SIEM that you're using. If you're not using QRadar, we would support others. But link back from those endpoints into your security intelligence layer. So that's a key part of our strategy on the endpoint. On slide 20, we get to another topic, a very important one, which is securing the people, right? Securing identity and access. And that's our identity and access management portfolio. And you see here that our vision in this space is quite simple. We have products that fill the needs of these blue boxes on this slide. At the bottom are what we call our directory and federation services, so the ability to reach into all of your identity repositories listed at the bottom of the slide here, at the bottom of the graphic. So that's our directory integrator, our federated access management capability. And then a layer up, we have a robust access management solution. It's called IBM Security Access Manager. Again, also available as an appliance form factor. You see we're emphasizing appliances because our customers have really found that to be an easier deployment model in security. Access management capability where you can do access and entitlement management, web and enterprise single sign-on, risk-based authentication within that appliance. So if someone's got their mobile device and they're suddenly dialing in from South Africa, but they normally work in Saudi Arabia, you get a second-factor authentication request if that's how you set up the policy. And you combine that on the right side with the identity management capability, so user provisioning, lifecycle management, privilege identity monitoring, and lockdown. So you really have this full combination of defining the user and their role and then providing access at a very sophisticated level. All that, again, ties in, that's a theme in this presentation, ties into the security intelligence layer. So we really believe that having a proper layer of security intelligence is what you need to have in today's era of security. And again, our identity portfolio has a policy-based identity and access governance capability that then ties into our security intelligence layer. So you can literally go from monitoring events in a QRadar platform to starting to drill down into user monitoring, identity context, and a compliance reporting. Okay, kind of pacing very quickly through a number of topics here. It's a fairly large and robust portfolio of security solutions. The next area is application security. Again, in application security, a number of key capabilities that we have introduced over the last couple of years. First, you see this graphic goes through the software development lifecycle, SDLC, from coding to building to QA, security inspection, and production of an application. And many of you are working on application deployment programs now. And the question is, have you tested the security of that application before it gets into production? And the way you do that is through what we call a static analysis or white box testing. So that's one of our major security products, is looking across all the programming languages types with a static analysis or source code scanning tool to make sure you've caught the security vulnerability before it's published. On the other side, if you have applications in production, then you can do dynamic analysis. And this is where you can do what we call black box or penetration testing on these applications. We run queries against it and see if there are vulnerabilities in there that you need to either block using, for example, network IPS devices, or remediate by rebuilding or doing a fix of the code. Very powerful. If you look at that bubble chart way at the beginning of the slide deck, one of the key ways that breaches are occurring and advanced persistent threats are occurring today is through the application layer because of SQL injection, because of all sorts of application-based attacks hitting your organization's website. So making sure you've done good static and dynamic analysis and scanning is a key and a fairly low-cost way of boosting up your security in a meaningful way. Okay, so slide 22, in summary, at the center of our strategy is the QRadar platform, where we are providing the intelligence platform for the enterprise, the security operations dashboard. I want to be very clear. The QRadar platform will bring data in from over 450 sources, most of them non-IBM sources. So if you're using, or if your customers are looking for a dashboard that can also bring in HP Tipping Point Network IPS's Checkpoint or Cisco or Oracle or events from any technology, that's what the QRadar platform does. And, of course, we've made sure that it does that with the IBM stack as well. And you see some of that listed here. We have fed in the X-Force into the QRadar platform, so you can add that research intelligence, Guardium feeding in there, so you can go deep into the data from this platform, Tivoli or IBM Endpoint Manager at the bottom left here, so you can go from those desktops, laptops, and all the things that you're doing on your mobile devices to secure them, have that reporting into a central dashboard, our network IPS and next-generation IPS and an anomaly detection capability, that all flows into this platform. AppScan, which we talked about, and then the identity and access management capabilities as well. And as I said before, and hundreds of third-party information sources. So that dashboard sits in the middle, and then all the parts of our portfolio around it provide that depth into each of the domains of security where you may have more concern. And some of you on the phone will say, geez, I'm more concerned about identity management. I'm going to really focus here. Others are concerned around locking access to databases and DBAs. Well, that's a Guardium solution. Others are worried about mobile device management. That's you start with Endpoint Manager. There's an entry point across a portfolio for your various security topics. Slide 23. In 2013, we're going to continue to focus in our portfolio. You know, last year in 2012, we released 25 new products or major enhancements to our product portfolio. And a lot of those enhancements were around the theme shown in the slide here. And we're going to continue that in 2013. So new capabilities in our QRadar and our network IPS and our endpoint around advanced threat. New identity and data security capabilities that help with cloud computing, new endpoint management and, again, access management capabilities around mobile computing. And then our entire portfolio will continue to make sure that we're helping you check the boxes of regulatory compliance, even local ones to the Middle East and Africa region. So these are the key, what we call kind of our mega trends that are pushing our portfolio in each of those areas of people, data, applications, and infrastructure, and security intelligence forward. So with that in mind, I'm going to start to wrap up here, guys. As you can see on slide 24, our portfolio is really a fairly diverse portfolio. There's a lot that we went through in this very short 40 minutes or so of discussing it. But you can think of it a bit like a maturity curve, and I show that here on slide 24, where in each of these areas around managing people, data, applications, and infrastructure, there is basic capability that a customer has, and many of you may be at this level. You may just be doing basic directory management or leveraging spreadsheets around your identities, basic encryption, or a little bit of application scanning. We believe that customers need to, in this age of advanced threats, really start to step from being basic to proficient to optimized. And you see in each of these areas, that can mean going from doing simple directory management all the way up to identity governance and people, getting all the way to data governance strategy and your data security, getting into hybrid scanning, into building application scanning into your security, your software development lifecycle process under application security. And in the infrastructure security, it's going well beyond basic perimeter security to really doing anomaly detection, hardened systems, and multifaceted network protection. And at the top of all that, we think, is this notion of security intelligence. And it can be the place to start or it can be the place to end, where you have a dashboard that's giving you a sense of where you are across these domains. I think a dashboard like that can really help to open your eyes up as a customer, as a business partner, working with customers around this region on where you have the most acute security problems. So with that in mind, Joe is going to come back on, and we're going to open the line back up for questions. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to either type them into the webcast or come off mute and describe them. But Joe, let me hand it back off to you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Okay, so I hope you have a better sense of where IBM is today regarding our approach to information security. As you have seen over the past minutes or so, we have a very comprehensive portfolio of technologies and services offerings that addresses the concerns and the challenges that organizations face today. So at this time, let's please open it up to questions. Are there any questions on the phone or on the web?
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question over the telephone, please press star 1 at this time. One moment, please. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question.
Okay, well, if there are no questions, Joe, I think we can wrap it up. Luckily, the webcast is recorded, and so we're looking forward to also receiving questions via email or phone call. I know you're going to follow up with a message out to the attendees and some of those that couldn't make this afternoon's presentation, so plenty of opportunity for interaction through virtual means.
Absolutely, Mark. And as I said in the beginning, we will be sending the presentation out to everybody that was on the call today so that you will have that available as a reference point. So, Mark, with that, I just want to thank you from the Middle East and Africa region for your time today. This was certainly very, very insightful, and we appreciate the hour that you took out of your day to spend with us.
My pleasure, Joe. Appreciate you having me.
Okay. Thank you very, very much, everybody.
Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.